Welcome to CFO Talk. I'm your host, Steve Rosewald, Chief Learning Officer at CFO.University. Joining us today from the heart of America, Kansas City, is Dan Crum. Dan is a native of New Orleans, where he earned his MBA from Tulane University. He has held a number of CFO roles, including 3 years with the New Orleans Hornets in the NBA, and for the past 13 years with the current Super Bowl champs, the Kansas City Chiefs. In addition to winning 2 Super Bowls in the past 4 years, Dan is credited with developing the team's business intelligence strategy, its data analytics capabilities, and business planning system. He is actively involved in numerous philanthropic boards and business associations. And Dan, it is really a pleasure to have you on CFO Talk.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we've done a number of recordings and we've talked back and forth, and it's been really fun and always eye-opening. And the topic I wanted to tackle today with you, and you can speak from experience because you are certainly on a winning team, but is looking at winning teams from the perspective of the leadership ranks of an organization and from the CFO suite. So what makes a great leadership team and what makes a winning CFO team? Does that suit you well?
Absolutely. Happy to talk about that. That's such an important topic.
But let's jump right in and let's start with the leadership team of an organization and maybe start off with how you would define that, number one, that team that really needs to be close-knit and come together to make a winning team.
Here at the Chiefs, I would start with the executive team. So we have our president, chief marketing officer, EVP of admin, EVP of communications, EVP of business development, and EVP of stadium services and events, and then myself, CFO, rounding that out. So that's the team here. And then I would also have, we can't do this without including Clark Hunt, our chairman and CEO, because he's really the individual who sets the tone from the top.
So now we have the team set. Are there specific qualities that should exist between the individuals or the team members that can make a successful leadership team?
I think it starts with when you're looking at the team, when you're looking at each individual, you have to have that level of knowledge and experience. So you have to have, that's kind of the base layer. So they have to be knowledgeable in their fields, knowledgeable and experienced as well. That's the base layer. Then along with that, you also have to have the trust amongst team members that whatever we do, whatever decisions we make, however we do our business, we're communicating, collaborating. I think that's a critical piece too, is collaboration. We have to collaborate. We have to make decisions that bring the group together and get input from each person. When you add our executive team up in total, you've probably got a good 150 years of collective experience in our respective fields. That's a wealth of knowledge that you can tap on because you have people in that group that have expertise in different areas. And so when you're making those decisions, you want to make sure that you're tapping that collective experience and knowledge. So that's important. And comes back to the knowledge, experience, trust. You have to trust each other. And we have to collaborate. We have to make sure that when we make decisions and when we're going through the analysis, whatever it is, that we're communicating, we're doing this as a group. We're tapping on that collective knowledge.
And as long as you're doing that, I guess it builds trust and builds collaboration. When you start trying to do everything individually, it probably does the opposite. Is there anything about the chemistry within your group that you'd say, this is unusual in my experience or from what you've heard from other people?
Our football team is the team, but then we have our team. When we look at what they do, we get a lot of motivation from the team on the field. We see how hard they work. We see how regimented they are. We see how dedicated and committed to improving and getting better. For instance, when we look at our quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, he wants to get better. He's already won 2 MVP awards. He's won 2 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowl MVPs. He's only been in it for 6 years, and even he thinks he can get better. Even he thinks he's got more upside. When you have cues like that in those role models to model after that behavior, it really creates that chemistry for us that we look at how hard they work and how good they are, and they still think they can be better. And so that chemistry is what really, as a whole organization, takes us to the levels we've been. Because when we look at the organization today, that chemistry throughout the entire organization has been instrumental in success on and off the field. We just take such good cues and models from what we see on the field. That's a big advantage for us as far as being in this business, whereas in other businesses I've worked in, we haven't had that same benefit where we can look at a team that's performing very high level and very successful to model after. We have that here.
What I really find interesting about that is you're looking at the whole organization and picking out areas that are super successful and then saying, hey, we can get energy and inspiration from that. What's leadership? Well, in that case, leadership is coming from somewhere else and it's inspiring the leadership of the organization to get better. So I think that's really interesting. I also like how you said with very much confidence when we started hosting the AFC championship games, like that's just going to continue. So good for you. Yeah, that's great. But it takes great leaders to do that too. I wasn't quite sure how to ask this question, but what makes you most proud in your role on the leadership team? And maybe that's not quite the right way to ask it, but if you can think about what you've done, what are you most proud of?
For me personally, I think it's just the development of the team, the development of my groups, the functions that I oversee, seeing their impact on the organization and seeing those individuals develop as leaders as well. But I also think about some of the things that we've implemented here and some of the directions we've taken the organization, you know, with the business intelligence and the data analytics practice that we really didn't have a very strong practice. And we've developed that and built it. And it's really contributed and benefited us through increased revenue streams, through cost reductions, and just looking at how we compare to the other clubs. So there's that plus just the contribution to the greater good of winning the Lombardi trophies. I used to, when I first started working here, it was back in 2010, we used to talk about, we would look at the Lombardi trophy in photos and we would say, that's the reason we're here. I didn't feel connected to it back then. I felt, well, no, I'm here to do a job. I have work to do. I have a job to do. Now that we've won it twice since I've been here, I feel the connection to it. I do feel like that's the reason we're here, because we do have the opportunity, we have the potential to win that trophy. And it's a lot of things that we do and everybody in this organization does that nobody ever hears about that allows the team to be successful. Because one of our big things is we want to minimize distractions. We want to make sure that the players and the coaches can focus on what they do best and just really pour the time and energy and effort into that. And we take care of all the rest so that they don't have to worry about that. I just think it's really the development of my teams and the disciplines, the functions, the contribution to this team being successful is really what motivates me.
In closing out kind of the whole leadership team, what advice would you give CFOs? Is there one or two pieces of advice you could give them on how they can contribute more to that role?
One of the most important things I could say, and what I really work on, and what I've done over the years, is learn the operation of your business. Or go out and understand how each department operates. Have a really good knowledge of what their needs are, what they do. And make sure that not only do you learn what they do, but that you communicate and you convey how important that is to the organization. So that in the organization, everyone feels like they have a part. And their part is important. That's one thing that I would say is really learn the operation. With the rate of change in technology and just digital in general, how the world is changing and how fast it's changing, I think being adaptable and embracing technology are really, really important. And so I feel like know the operation well, embrace the digital world, embrace change and technology, because it's moving fast and it's moving whether we get on the train or not. So we may as well be on it and embrace it.
On the leadership team, some really great advice. And I'd like to kind of take that same thought to your team, everyone who reports to you and how you built your team. So if you think about a few things that make your finance team a winning team, what boxes would you tick off?
Again, this kind of relates back to something I alluded to earlier in our conversation is the experience level. My team, we have collective on the team that reports to me. I've got three direct reports that oversee IT, finance, and accounting. And the four of us together combined have over 100 years of experience in our respective fields. that knowledge, that experience is huge, but I also think we have a real thirst and hunger to learn and to get better. And we set our sights in various metrics and areas to be the best. Like in our IT practice, we get audited by the league every year. And for 2 years straight, we've been the top team as far as fewest findings in those audits. And I would say same thing on the accounting side. Yeah, we've been one of the fewest findings. And that's because we have good people and we have a huge focus on wanting to be the best and wanting to do everything as best as possible. We're not going to kid ourselves into thinking that we're going to be perfect. We're never going to make a mistake because mistakes will happen. First, you have to make sure that you've done everything possible to not have a mistake, but then when they do happen, you have to be able to go in and figure out why and make whatever changes you have to make sure that it doesn't happen again. But I think that collective knowledge and experience, I think the thirst and the hunger to be the best are things that really help us and set our team apart. And then there's just a good diversity of where we've all worked. Some of us worked in public accounting. Some of us have worked for only this team. Some of us have worked in sports and corporate America. Some of us have worked in global companies. So we bring a real breadth of experience to the organization.
You talk about the thirst. And is that something that you look at as is innate in people that happen to be there or you've hired? Or can that be learned or trained to have that thirst?
I think you kind of have to have that to begin with, but I think it can be developed. If you show the propensity to want to do that, it can be developed because I think, again, here you have the team on the field and you see how they want to be the best and how they are. Last year, we were the best. We won the Super Bowl. That really sets a great tone for the entire organization. But most of the people that work direct reports from you want to, they came in wanting to be that way. And you could see that they weren't just satisfied wanting to just do the job. They wanted to do the job, make an impact, and be the best at. It's something that when I first interviewed for the job, CFO, the president told me that you're the only person I interviewed that said that they wanted to be the best. It's always been the way I've done every job. I've always wanted to be the best at it.
Some of that, this thirst to learn and everything, the term I use, it's similar. I don't know if it's exactly the same, but it's this intellectual curiosity. Want to ask the five why questions. They really want to dig deep into why did that work that way, or why will this not work, or can we make it work? And I think it's that similar. The people I've worked with who have that insatiable appetite to know and keep going further, which makes them the best, is, I think, important. So thank you for that. I know that you love riding horses, have your whole life, and you do some yoga, but that's not a requirement for your team, is it? Or is that your personal side?
I wish it was a requirement at times, but because I love to get out on a beautiful day like today and take a quick ride. But that's just something that I was really fortunate when I was much younger. Yeah, our family bought a horse and my brothers and I rode. And it's one of those things that I made the comment that sometimes you're being taught a lesson and you don't realize you're being taught a lesson. And so when I was young, my dad really left the care of the horse up to us. We were responsible for getting out there and feeding the horse and riding and doing all those things with the horse. I didn't really understand at the time, but I was learning responsibility because the horse can't take care of itself. Learning responsibility was a great lesson for me that carried throughout my life. Anytime I go on trips, I always try to find a place to ride, stable down here close by that I go ride at. And there's nothing like the feeling of being on a horse and just being out in nice weather and enjoying it.
I'm not a big horseback rider. I do occasionally, but it is joyful, isn't it?
They really understand people. They are really sensitive, and they know if you're nervous. They know if you're upset. They feel it.
They feel you're nervous. They want to make you more nervous.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned responsibility, learning responsibility, and then one of the next questions on your team aspect was, what factors do you emphasize when developing a team, and what's important to you in that team development?
When I'm developing a team, what I want to ultimately get to is we've got the baselines. We know we need to have the knowledge and experience, and we need the trust, and we need to work that together and make that chemistry develop. Because when we can get that chemistry where we're all thinking on the same page, doesn't mean we all have to think the same exact thought, but we're working towards one goal or set of goals. And I think that's another key component. you have to set goals, because once you set those goals, then you have something to target and you have something tangible that you're going after. If it's to be the best, the information technology audit, to have the fewest findings, that's a very quantifiable goal. Just like if we want to be the most profitable team in the NFL, that's a very quantifiable goal. Those are things that you have to, I believe, in order to build a team and to have the right direction, you have to have goals, and you have to have goals that are realistic. You don't want to set a goal that's so unrealistic that people just get frustrated and your team doesn't feel like they can ever achieve it. You want a goal that's attainable, that is a stretch that you have to really work for.
Have your goals changed over the years since you first started?
Overall, our goals as an organization, we've had slight modifications to them, but they're basically the same core goals. You've got your financial goals, which we measure in terms of local EBITDA, which is revenue and expenses we control, not the national NFL revenues and expenses. So that's one goal. Another goal relates to how we treat our employees. That's another one. And then another one is our brand. We want to enhance and develop our brand. So those are four goals that are very concrete for us. And we have measurables for those that we can look at. And we can say, okay, we look at the net promoter score. It tells us how people are talking about us. And if they're saying positive things, if they're saying negative, where we need to improve, where we're doing a great job. There's different surveys and indexes that you can go to and measure that and know where you stand. Those are things that I think it's really imperative that you do have a good set of goals. And our goals are really driven from our mission statement.
Are there two or three ways you can think of that your team contributes to the success of the overall Chiefs organizations that you'd like to highlight? I'm sure you can come up with a list of 50, but if you just take two or three that might help CFOs get some insight into that area.
One thing that I look at is what our business intelligence data analytics practice. I look at not only have we contributed to higher ticket revenue, higher revenue across the board, we contribute to that. Years ago, I charged with the lead in that group. I said, if you can find a way for us to make one extra dollar per ticket per game, you add that up over the course of a whole season, that's a significant amount of money. It's about what is the right mix of season tickets, single game tickets, so that you can dynamically price. Those are areas that we as a group have contributed, and I feel like we've made a significant impact in knowing what the right mix of season to single game tickets, the pricing, and not just pricing on tickets, but pricing on concessions. Those are areas that I think that we've made significant impact. I think also on the football analytics and data side as well, we've helped them to streamline some of their reporting and some of their scouting reports. We developed a scouting database for the football side that we built from scratch in SharePoint. And that's something that houses all of the information on every player.
It also sounds like something that you want to make sure the cybersecurity are on that super tight before we publish this CFO talk.
Oh, yes. Obviously, something we take very seriously is cybersecurity, because we could spend a whole session talking about cybersecurity, but it's something we take extremely, extremely seriously. And we put a lot of focus, a lot of effort. In fact, we've staffed up. We continue to staff up. You know, the league requires us to have an information security person on board. So we have one person that's dedicated solely to information security, keeping all the systems running and maintained. Another thing, we get the opportunity to see different metrics, how we compare to the league and other teams. And we do really well in all areas. But one area that we're consistently doing a great job is cost control. We don't look at cost control in the way of just, okay, we just want to cut costs and that's it. How we balance it with cutting costs and keeping revenue growing. So looking at that ratio, that relationship between cost elevation and revenue growth, and making sure that those lines aren't intersecting to the point where revenue is going this way and costs are going that way. So that's something that I'd say we've consistently done a great job of keeping it amongst the lowest operating cost in the league.
CFOs don't typically, in the past anyway, I think it's becoming more frequent, but aren't very much involved in the top line of the P&L. They're not involved in the pricing. And I'm seeing more and more interest in that and more involvement. And you guys have taken it to a whole new level. Your whole data analytics and business intelligence systems are taking that to a very, very data-driven decision-making level. And your tools are incredible. So I think that's really a great lesson for CFOs and finance leaders. Look at the top line as well. You don't just have to look at the other pieces.
I think that is critical because, Steve, I feel like that is an area that we can really make an impact. We're not just cutting costs. We're not a frugal company. We spend a lot of money on player salaries, player benefits, on our staff. We're very generous as far as benefits and taking care of our players, coaches, and staff. But we balance it. We really want to grow revenue. So we want to do that very disciplined, but also thoughtful and understanding that we have an obligation to do the best thing we can possibly do for the Chiefs organization.
The last question, I'm going to ask you to get out your crystal ball, and it's your toughest question, I think. What is going to differentiate in the future between a mediocre CFO and a great CFO? Can you give us a few bullet points on your thoughts on that?
I feel like what's going to really differentiate is how you take information and tell story, make impactful decisions from that information. I think it's being able to take information and take insights and make decisions from it, and how quickly, how accurately you can do that, how impactfully. So don't waste time on information that's not going to help the organization. I feel like those are areas, everything you can possibly automate, everything you can do to make that practice of getting information to the right people, to the decision makers, and giving the insights, not just being able to predict what you feel is going to happen, but giving the advice, giving the action item, like, here's what we should do. Here's the suggestion. Here's the course of action we should take. So I think that's going to be real important. And I think the people skills are going to be huge because we've seen it in the workforce today. There's a different mindset, different mentality. And I feel like we have to do everything that we can to empower our people, to make them part of the process, and to give them meaningful work and meaningful opportunities. So I think that's going to be something that as you build out your team, how are you doing that? But I feel like the data, the information is going to be huge, and how you harness that, how you use that to make decisions and make recommendations. I think that's what's really going to separate as you move forward in the world. Just the CFOs that can capitalize on that are going to be the really successful CFOs.
That was all learning filled for sure. There's one area that kind of stuck out for me, this concept of don't spend time on information that isn't going to help the business. And I think that is a huge risk for some CFOs because historically speaking, we've been the procurer of past information and past transactions. And I still think having a proper financial statement is really important. But if we're too zoned in on that, we can do a lot of work on something that isn't going to add all that future value that you talked about. I mean, everything you talked about just now was how to build a better future and how to look forward and create insights. And that isn't all coming from our current financial statements. In fact, a lot of it is not. So really a lot of wisdom there, Dan. Really appreciate you. You knocked that one out of the park, or maybe you scored a touchdown with it. How's that?
As we say here, we got the ball across the goal line.
You sure did. You sure did. Well, want to thank you so much for joining us on CFO Talk today. It was really a pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here. I always enjoy our discussion.
Well, thank you. And CFO.University is a community of business leaders, companies, and trusted advisors committed to the professional development of chief financial officers. Learn more about us at www.cfo.university. Until next time, engage, learn, and grow.